those of you that are visiting with us, you are honored guests. Thank you so much for coming. We'd love to have you anytime, all the time. We'd love to have you all the time. And so you come back and just make yourself at home. Psalm 37, Bible says in verse 23, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. I have been young, and now am old. That's Brother Jackie's life verse right there. No. I couldn't resist that. He said, I have been young, and I am old. Now I'm old. That's right. Yet, excuse me, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. Then I'll just read the verse. You don't have to turn there, but that I read this morning, Jeremiah 10:23. O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. It is not. Right there out of our Bible. We cannot get from point A to point B successfully. It don't matter how short or how long of a trip it is. He said, oh, but I got GPS. That is not what I'm talking about. I'm saying in life, being a father, being a husband, being a Christian, it ain't in us to do it in and of ourselves. The Bible says right here in the book of Jeremiah, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. We will misstep about every step of the way. And I can testify to that. I have made so many wrong moves, got ahead of God, got behind God, got sideways with God, and left to myself. I will mess up more times than not. But thank God, hey listen, God didn't leave us to ourselves. He gave us His Spirit and to guide us and to guide us into all truth, the Spirit of God that dwells in us. And I thank the Lord for that. I thank the Lord that the verses we just read, he said, though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. Ain't you glad if you're saved, you have a helper? This ain't just for fathers and men. This is for mothers and teenagers. And if you're saved, let me just break the news to you. If you hadn't already got this far, you're going to fall. You're going to fail. But thank the Lord, He does not count us out when we fall. He does not call an eight count and then we still wobbling and stop the fight. No, if you're still breathing, you still got a shot. God's still upholding you, and He's still with His right hand, His strong arm, He's still holding us up, and I thank the Lord for that. I want to preach on this subject, and we'll get to the actual message. I'm going to skip everything I did this morning, but it's a good man is hard to find. Now that could be said in so many different venues. Girls, my girls especially, a good man is hard to find. That means you need to hunt for about 30 more years before you even think about finding one. A good man is hard to find. When it comes to work, boy, there's some slouches out there. I mean, these people, I have managed people. I've had people work for me and under me. And I've worked with people, and they work harder at not working. They will go around the world working and sweating so they don't have to do their job. And I'm like, man, just do your job. That's right. Just do your job. But on the job side, and before this mess hit America, boy, there was help wanted signs everywhere. I mean, if you didn't have a job before this stuff hit, it wasn't anybody's fault but your own. If you're able to work, they were jobs everywhere. Now, that's changed some now, but and I heard this over and over and over from businessmen, from people who own companies. I just can't find anybody that'll work, that wants to work. It's hard to find a good man. And on the job, in the home, I ought to get amen, ladies. It's hard to find a good husband, a good father. That's right. Most of us, God help me, do what it takes to get by. God help us to do better than that. Amen. Well, it's hard, a good man is hard to find. Let me skip down so I don't repeat, and we'll get done. But number one, a good man is hard to find. A good man is a careful man. You say, what makes a good man? How do I know if I've found a good man? How do I know if I have a good man? And if you're looking for, how do I know when I found him? What does he look like? What's his characteristics? Number one, a good man is a careful man. He's not scared, but he's cautious. And that's a good quality. People who just dive right in every situation head first, you better be careful. I've seen this in the church and other places. Boy, they will take off like a bottle rocket, whistling loud and taking off. I mean, but they're ready to go. I'll do anything. I'm ready. I want to serve. And they come down just as fast as they went up and usually make more noise coming down. But the point is, a good man is a careful man, a cautious man, a man who is prudent, who will think through things before they just dive in and go ahead. A good man is a careful man. I can give an application. Y'all young girls listening. Somebody who says, "Will you marry me?" ain't a good man, first of all, to my children. He's a terrible man. But I'm sincere. A man who says, "Hey, will you marry me?" and they ain't got a job, that ain't a good man. If they can't take care of themselves, how under heaven do you think they're going to take care of you?
Yeah.
Let me tell you what he hadn't done. He's not a cautious man. He's not a careful man. He has not thought through. He can't feed his own faith. How's he going to feed you?
Yeah.
He can't put a roof over his own self. How's he going to take care of you? He is not a good man.
Amen.
A good man knows that he's got to get to a place in life where he's got a job, where he has income, he's went to school, he's done his studies, and he's working somewhere, and he's able to take care of himself and also you.
Amen.
And until he's ready to get to that point, until he's been careful and cautious enough to get to that point, you shouldn't even give him the time of day.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Matter of fact, you ought to run from him. If he's talking about getting married and he can't even take care of himself, he runs to his mama every time something goes wrong. Oh, y'all ain't seen them kind, have you? They are everywhere. Why do you think most marriages are in such trouble? Because they run to mama to fix everything.
That's
right. It's hard to find good men.
Yeah.
That's right. Bob says, quit you like men. We need some men in this day. I mean some real solid men. Men who will be careful and cautious. So, well, you got any Bible for that? Well, yeah, I do. Ephesians 5:15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Sound like a careful man to me? Don't just walk through life happy-go-lucky, carefree. No, we ought to walk circumspectly. Not as fools, but understanding what the will of the Lord is, what's going on around us, and careful and cautious. Not as fools. He's a good man is careful, number one, with his time. And oh me, this puts me under conviction. You know, Brother Alex, I have more trouble with me and time than I do about anything else. If I was just to add up the seconds, minutes, hours, days, weeks, and years that I've wasted time. And do you do realize we're going to give an account for that? Amen. We're going to give an account for that. But a good man is careful with his time. Ephesians 5:16, the very next verse after 15. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. A good man will understand where we are on God's time clock. That we are living in the last days. That time is running out. A good man is going to be careful when it comes to time. Amen. And he's going to redeem the time. Understanding that the days are evil. We don't have much time left. In other words, whatever you're going to do for Christ, we better get busy doing it because, listen, a careful man, a good man who's walking circumspectly and not as a fool understands that this thing is about up. This world is about over and we're headed out of here. Now we'll shout amen, hallelujah, even so come quickly, Lord Jesus. But the truth is, most of us have not been cautious or careful enough to understand what that really means. Oh, heaven sounding sweeter all the time. I love that song too. But I'm going to tell you something. I'm like Paul. I tremble at his presence, knowing that I'm about to stand before a thrice holy God with all my wasted time. Amen. Amen. Well, a good man is careful with his time. A good man understands his time here is limited. And he invests in his time wisely. He is not overcome with pleasures. Oh me. Habits. Hobbies. And we can enjoy those things. But we have went overboard with hobbies and hang-ups and fun and pleasure. And we have got our priorities so out of whack. I was talking to somebody about this. I was talking to Eddie last week about this. One morning, we're sitting there talking, and it's amazing how many parents, fathers, who's supposed to be leading the home, living for God, showing the example, blazing a trail, have put pleasure over the things of God. Amen. That's not being careful. That's not being careful. That's not being cautious. There is a place for pleasure. We all need a break from time to time. I'm not against having hobbies, but our hobbies should not overrule and override our holiness. Amen. Amen. And so this is a good man's hard to find. He's careful when it comes to his time. Number two, he's careful when it comes to his treasure. Proverbs 13:22. A good man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children. I got a laugh out of that today. A good man, the Bible says, leaveth an inheritance to his children's children. I thought, why did the Lord have to put that in the Bible? Y'all know where I'm going with this. My mama forgot my name when she became a nana. She used to love me. She would pamper and pet me. And now I knock on the door and she looks at me like I'm some bum off the street. She don't know me. She's just moving me out of the way saying, where's my babies? Amen. The Bible, a good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children. Yeah. I don't think that's talking about grandchildren. I think it's talking about their children and their grandchildren. In other words, a prudent man, a godly man, a good man is careful when it comes to his time and his treasure. In other words, he don't just throw it all away. He don't just waste it all. He's prudent and he puts it back and he thinks ahead and he provides and he does leave a legacy and he leaves things for his children. Yeah. And it's not just talking about monetary things. Listen, way more important than some monetary gift or some big check signed or some insurance policy. You know what I want? I want to leave behind a testimony and a reputation that my children will receive and that my children's children will receive, knowing that their daddy, their father, was a careful, cautious man that took care of his time and his treasure.
Amen.
Yes. Amen. I would much rather my children know that I'm a part of that missions program and that I put plenty of money in that missions program than for them to know I had $1 million in the bank. You know why? Because that's eternal. That shows them I believe in Jesus saving sinners. I believe it. And I do believe it. If I didn't believe it, I wouldn't give to our missionaries. But I believe it. I know it to be true. And it ain't just missionaries around the world, but we are to be missionaries.
Amen.
We ought not to be hypocritical. We ought to be careful and cautious around here, understanding that, hey, listen, time's running out. Listen, we ought to be careful and walking circumspectly, understanding that the days are evil and time is running out, and we are on a mission field.
Amen.
Right here, our family is a mission field. Our friends is a mission field. Listen, I would say your school is, but I don't know if that's going to happen or not with all this stuff going on. Whenever you do go back to school, though, a school is a mission field. Your job is a mission field.
Yeah.
And what hypocrites are we to hold our missionaries to this standard and say, well, you got to knock on this many doors and you got to do this and got to check this box and do this. And we won't even go knock on doors.
That's right.
Oh, we'll write a check. Hello, Tokyo. Y'all out there?
Amen.
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 And we wonder why we ain't got tons of visitors coming, because we ain't asking nobody.
Right.
When's the last time you spent a Saturday? So I'm going to go out and invite people to church.
Amen.
As my black brother used to say, Brother Kenny Grant, I just put a little oil on the squeak. Got quiet in here.
Amen.
Yeah. Well, a good man leaveth inheritance to his children's children. A good man doesn't squander his treasure. He follows the word of God and is cautious in the use of his money. Can I say this and move on? I never preach about tithing, hardly ever. But for your good, can I say this? If you are not tithing, you are not prudent with your money. You are begging for a curse on your money. You're asking God to vex your finances. And by the way, you a thief. Because the tithe ain't yours or mine. The tithe is the Lord's. And you say, oh, well, I give my tithe. You give your 10%? Good. You're even. You ain't give God anything until after that 10%, because the tithe is the Lord's. People come to me and brag and talk about, oh, I give my tithe. And I have to say, slow down. You don't have a tithe. I don't have a tithe. The tithe is the Lord's.
Yeah.
Now, if you want to talk about your offering, what'd you give above that?
Right.
That's what you've given. Amen. That is exactly right. Go read the book of Malachi, chapter 3, and pretty stout words. I didn't make it up. I promise you that. I can tell you this, though. I know lost businessmen. It's truth. Who would send tithe, big checks, and they wouldn't even don the doors of the church, but they knew they knew, and told me, because they tithe, God bless their business. Didn't even claim to know Jesus, but they believe that principle of tithing. I'm just saying, hey, listen, don't ask God to curse you, your vineyards. If you tithe and give, I promise you will not outgive God. You want to be prudent? Then give. Because God said, I will give back to you, pressed down, shaking, and running over. He said, try me, try me, God said, and see if I won't open up the windows of heaven and pour out more than your barns can hold.
Amen.
You won't outgive God. Amen. Well, I don't have time to deal with that, but that's just free advice. So a good man is careful with his time. A good man is careful with his treasure. Here's one. A good man is careful with his talk. Whew. Now, you thought it was rough in the first two. This is hard. Y'all, be careful, little tongue, what you say. Oh, my. The Bible says that little member, Book of James, it's set on fire from hell. God put double locks on. I mean, you got those ivory pillars in front of it and then two sets of walls in front of it called your lips. And yet somehow that lip flings open. Those ivory teeth move out of the way and that tongue gets a flapping all over the place.
Yes, sir. Amen.
And it gets us in so much trouble.
Yes, sir. Right.
Amen. I'm telling you. Hey, listen, I'm telling you. It's so easy, David, it's so easy. I mean, being right with the Lord. I've been sitting around the table with preachers. I'm being dead serious. You want me to tell you how much you can not trust your tongue? Sitting around the table with preachers, eating a meal, fellowshipping, things going good, and all of the sudden, somebody whispers a name, and then another, and before you know it, you're saying stuff about people that you shouldn't be saying.
That's right.
We need to pray for this one. Yeah, you need to pray for yourself for talking about this one.
Amen.
And I have been guilty of doing it. And I've had to call people. I crawled on my knees in front of 2,000 people at Victory Baptist at their camp meeting because I had talked about a preacher and I had to get right with God. And I crawled up there and I mean, that preacher did me wrong and run me down all over the country. But in order for me to be right, I had to go ask forgiveness because I had put my tongue on him.
Amen.
Even if you're right, it don't give you a right to talk about somebody.
That's right.
What have you gained?
Amen.
What have you gained? I'm not preaching at you. If we must talk, talk to God, because He's the only person you know who can keep a secret.
That's right. Amen.
So that's my best friend. They'll die with it. Yeah. You keep on thinking that.
Yeah. That's right.
And those who like to gossip, your gossiping buddy, let me tell you this. If they will listen to your garbage, they will tell your garbage to somebody else. And that's how gossip gets around.
That's right.
So, but it ain't like that. Okay. Keep on banking that. By the way, gossiping don't require only your mouth to be moving. It could just be opening up your ear. That's just as much gossiping as the one doing the talking. A good man is careful, and you got to be careful with your tongue, or it will get away from you. Oh, don't you wish you had a delete button? Don't you wish God give us a built-in DVR where you just and just retract that? But once it's out there, it's just like social media, Facebook, Twitter, all this stuff. Do you know once it's out there in the ether, once you put it out there, you can delete it. You can go and find it and try to delete it. But once it's out there, it's out there.
Yeah.
And it's almost impossible to ghost yourself, is what they call it, to go and erase out of the ether things you've said.
Yeah.
That's why it's so critical that, and listen, we're training our children. I mean, from 3 years old and up, that is their livelihood in life. To throw them out there on that world wide web. And do you realize by the time they're 10, they already have a profile that the whole world can look at?
Yeah.
I'm saying we better be careful. We need some good men who understand that talk and that our tongue should be guarded, because it can get us in a mess of trouble. Amen. Amen. Well, let me say this. Hurry. James 1:26. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. The book of old brother James, he don't cut corners. He'll just tell you, your religion is vain. If you flap in your jaws and you say y'all spiritual, your religion's vain. You can tell a lot about a person just by how they talk. Listen to people sometimes. How often do you hear people talk about Jesus? I ain't talking about church. Church is easy to talk about. Lost people can talk about church. But listen to how little you hear people talk about Jesus. I'm talking about Christian people. It's a shame. It's shameful to me how little I talk about him. And I'm a preacher. But do you realize you have just as much right and purpose to talk about Jesus as I do? He saved you just like he did me. Just because I'm a preacher means nothing. We should all be using our tongue to talk about Jesus. And if you want to know of a good man, find somebody that talks about Jesus. It uses their tongue for good and for the glory of God, not the rest of the mess that most people talk about. Amen. Well, oh me, a good man is careful about what he says about others, to others, and around others. Whew. My. His children never learn salty language from him. Oh, how we let our guard down at the house with the people we love the most and care about the most. Ain't it amazing how we will put on a front to people at church to look religious, to look spiritual, and then go home and act like the devil to the people we say we love the most? God help me. Talk to strangers like they're wonderful, and we'll put on the dog for people at the church and others, and then go home and talk to our wife like that dog and talk to their children. God help us. God help us. Because they see right through that hypocrisy. Amen. I'm saying a good man should be careful with his tongue. Amen. God help me. His speech honors God and blesses his fellow man. He is not a talebearer. Titus 2:8 says, for a young man to have sound speech that cannot be condemned. Whew, what a stout verse. All right, so number one, a good man. It's hard to find a good man. A good man is careful. A good man, number two, is committed. I got six or seven of these. I won't get all of them. But number two, and this is, oh, how we need some committed men. Committed men. Do you know what kind of church we could have if people would just get committed to church as much as they're committed to their job? It amazes me. I'm sincere. There's some mysterious, it's crazy. There's some mysterious sickness that creeps in like a green haze on Sundays and just squeezes the life out of people, and they're about to die. And they can't get up and go to church. They're about to die. And it's on them Sunday morning, stays on them to Sunday night, and I mean, they are nigh unto death. And then mysterious as it floated in, that green haze floats out. And Monday morning, the bell goes off, and buddy, they put their boots on and they get to the place where they're going to make that dollar. Sick or not. Y'all ever notice how crazy that is? It's mysterious. Never seen such. I don't think there's a cure for it that the world's come up with. There is a cure for it, though. It's called getting right with God.
Amen. Yes, sir.
If you can't be faithful to church, don't tell me you're right with God. You ain't right with God. I ain't even going to argue with you about that. I ain't going to beg you to come to church. If you can't get something that elementary and that primary down as coming to the house of God, you ain't right with God. You need to get right with God. And you, listen, if you want to argue about it, that's just more proof that you ain't right with God. The only time I've ever not wanted to go to church was when I wasn't right with God or I was really, really sick. Amen. So a good man needs to be careful and he needs to be committed. Amen. Committed. It seems that some men and women have trouble making commitments and many more have much more trouble keeping them. Oh my. I don't have time to preach all this, but do you know the Bible says better not to make a vow than to make one and break it? But we're living in days where people just, they don't mind making commitments. They just mind keeping them. Wouldn't it be wonderful if a man's word was his bond, like it used to be? It used to be if a man told you something, you could bank on it. Amen. They would do whatever it took. If they said something to you and said, all right, we're going to do this. I'm committing to it. That's it. Yeah. They could go get a loan for a house with their word. Yeah. Now, you got to sign a stack of papers thicker than that book right there. Because the bank knows people ain't going to keep their commitments. And that ought not be so of a Christian.
Amen.
God help us. We ought to pay our bills. If we tell somebody we're going to do something, if I tell somebody I'm going to be somewhere, I ought to be there.
Yes.
And that ain't just for preachers. If we and this is, I do get in trouble here, and Lord forgive me. We'll tell somebody, I'm going to call you. And we don't call them back. Number one, that's a lie. And number two, that lets them know we wasn't serious about that commitment at all.
Right.
And before long, you know what happens? Little by little, it erodes our character.
Yeah.
People lose confidence in what we say.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
I know I'm preaching right down here where we're living, but Brother Alex, if you tell somebody you're going to do something,
amen,
you ought to break your back to get it done and make sure, because every time you're letting the devil in your flesh chisel away at your character, your integrity, and people notice that.
Amen.
You know what people ought to be able to say? Hey, if Michael Rochester said that he's going to come, he's going to come. If Cameron said he's going to be at my house tomorrow, I don't even have to look. I know he's going to be there. That's how we ought to be committed. And when we make commitments, we ought to stick to them. Whether we like it or not, if we made the commitment, we ought to do it.
Amen. Amen.
Oh, man, I know that's probably boring preaching, but if we just start living that, you'll see how unboring it is. It's way easier said than done. I'll say this. Oh, look at there. My battery's dying. Y'all getting out of here early. Now, commitment, a good man. Listen, it's for ladies too. Tell me this. Tell me I'm lying. How many people do you say, I'll pray for you? Or people will ask, will you pray for my aunt? She's got a bunion on her left foot. And before I think, I'll say, yeah. No one, I ain't going to pray for her bunion.
Amen. True.
But that ought not be true. If we tell people we're going to pray for them, if you got a bad memory like me, then this is what I've started doing. I say, write it down. Or tell my wife, my walking, talking, living secretary. I wouldn't know how to get to church or when to get to church if it wasn't for her. I can't keep up with nothing. But I'm telling you, if we tell somebody and make a commitment, I'm going to pray for you. That ought to be a serious thing. We ought to follow through. And if we can't pray for somebody, if we ain't going to take the time to pray for them, then we ought to be man enough to say, hey, I'm too busy. No, they ain't going to hear that. But we're going to get to heaven one day and give an account for all them times we said, I'll pray for you.
Amen.
And didn't.
Yeah.
Whew. Oh, me. Lord, help us. Lord, help us. Listen, this is hard preaching. I know it's hard living. I'm preaching to me and to you. But we need men who are committed. We need women who are committed. Committed to love. He is to love his wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Ephesians 5:25. Christ not only gave it his life in dying for us, but he rose again and lives for us. Loving our wife is more than laying your life down. Whew, Lord, help me. It's laying your life down every day to show her your love and devotion. It's a matter of commitment to love every day. That's way easier said than done. But all that would bring revival to our homes if we love our wife as Christ loved the church. So it's commitment in love, it's commitment in labor. 1 Timothy 5:8. But if any man provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. A man who is not committed to work for his family is not a good man. Period. Period. Some have sicknesses, disease, but a healthy man who won't work is a man the Bible condemns. Period. Don't get mad at me for saying that. God said you're worse than an infidel. That wasn't Rochester theology. That's what God said. And then a man, and I'll just be done here, committed to leadership. A good man is the leader of the home. Ephesians 5:23, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the savior of the body. A good man is committed to spiritual leadership. Amen.
Amen.
Financial leadership.
Amen.
Amen. Leadership in labor, leadership in parenting. Oh, me. I should have saved this point right here and preached on it a whole service. How many mamas has to do all the capital punishment? How many mamas has to do all the whooping, all the correcting? Because we men are just too busy. We got too much important things going on. Let your mama deal with that. That ain't leadership. That ain't leadership. And God help us, God help me to lead in my home. Amen. To be committed to it. And it don't just happen. You don't just wish it so. It takes commitment. It takes work. It's labor. And it's love. But it's something we ought to commit ourselves to doing. He is not a leader when he wants to be in charge only. He's a leader when it's hard. Everybody wants to be a leader. I'm done. Everybody wants to be a leader. Whether in the home or at the church, you always got somebody that wants that position. Business, it's all the same. They'll climb over you to try to get to the next rung on the ladder. Until they start leading and find out what leading is all about and all that comes along with leading. And then you can't find them with the FBI. Lead. You will never understand leadership until you understand servitude. If you want to be a leader, serve. And not in the limelight. Serve when nobody's looking. Push a broom, pick the trash can up, serve, pray. Do something when nobody that you're not going to get applauded for. And God will elevate you. God will lift you. But if you got to push and climb and claw to get over people so you can get in leadership, when you do, if you do get that position, you ain't going to be much of a leader at all. Because you hadn't learned what it takes to lead. And it takes service to lead. Amen. Well, that's about all I can take of this message. I've done preached myself under such conviction, I'm going to quit while I'm behind. That's right. Let's stand together. Whew. That was a rough one. Hey, listen, you ain't got to get up and preach about all these fluorescent neon sins, drug addicts, and all. What we dealt with tonight, that's tough preaching. Yeah. That's hard preaching. That's right where we live in. And it's not hard if we're not wanting to apply it, but if we want to apply God's word and be a good man, when somebody's looking for a good man, your face, your name comes to mind because you have these characteristics and integrity, then it's going to require change, and it's hard, but it's so worth it. God help us to be those men. Let's pray. Father, we love you. Lord, I come to you, Lord, again. Lord, with a broken heart, Lord, realizing, God, I failed you so miserably. Lord, while I've been preaching, God, you have pricked my heart, convicted me so, so much, Lord, that I have failed you in. God, I ask of you, Lord, that you'd help me search me, oh God, and try me. See if there'd be any wicked way in me, Lord, help me to turn from my sin, Lord, from my shortcomings. God, help me to be willing to serve others, God, and to, Lord, put others above myself. God, especially my wife, Lord, my children, God, in my own home, I pray, Lord, you'd help me, Lord, to be serious and sober-minded, God, about serving you, Lord, and serving them. God, help me to be careful, Lord. Oh, God, help me to be careful with my tongue, Lord, my treasure. God, and the things that you've called me to do, Lord, I pray, God, that I live a life, Lord, that my children, my wife, God, could see Christ in me, Lord, and others could see God. I pray the same prayer, Lord, for these, my brothers and sisters, God, that makes up our church, Lord, would you please help us, God, not just to be hearers of the word, but Lord, help us to be doers. God, help us to take to heart. Lord, I can't make anybody do anything, but oh God, you can. You said your word's like a hammer that breaks the stony heart, Lord, in pieces. I pray, God, you would break up our hard hearts, Lord, and that you, the Holy Spirit of God, would minister to us, Lord, and mend us. God, make us meet for your use, God. We love you. I sure do thank you for being such a good, good Father. Lord, we love you and thank you in Christ's name. Amen.